Hi, welcome to the podcast that explores what virtual assistants want business owners to know when they start asking themselves the question, hey, do I need a VA? I'm Rachel Davila, and after 18 years as a virtual assistant going it alone, I experienced the steep learning curve from the other side of the VA client relationship when I hired my own VA. Joining me on this podcast is a group of friends and colleagues who all have their own take on what busy entrepreneurs need to know to find, hire, and work with a virtual assistant, and mindfully answer the question, hey, do I need a VA? Let's get this episode started. Hello, welcome back to a new episode of Hey, Do I Need a VA? The podcast. With me as usual is Bree BV, Leanne Aremley, and Sydney Hubbard. And today we're talking about how much accountability do you need? Or as I lovingly put it in my notes, how much mom do you need? I know as a mom, I've done my fair share of nagging in the beginning, and I felt like a mom towards clients, and sometimes that works well. I have been known to go mama bear on them, and when they're sliding back on goals or boundaries, I'll give them that extra push and be like, come on, guys, let's do this thing. But other times, I've had to let them act like teenagers and just figure out the consequences on their own. So when you're thinking about hiring a VA for your business, how much accountability do you need? And is your VA the one you're going to look to for that kind of support? VAs are usually the organized ones. We keep things straight, like, you know, deadlines and reminders, and I've pinged more than one client like, hey, remember to get this information, or you wanted to ask so-and-so about such and such. So for you, how does that show up, guys, for you? Do you do a lot of accountability, mama bear hand-holding, or do you kind of let clients figure things out on their own?
For me, it depends on the client. So I have some clients that are very much VA clients, and those are the ones that I ping a little more often, especially if they've already admitted that they have problems with forgetting things or deadlines, and that's kind of what they're hiring me for. Mm-hmm. One of my first clients said I should change my title to professional nag. Not quite the title I went with, but because she literally needed me to nag her on a daily basis on what she needed to get done. And that's fine. You know, that is a tasks that some VAs take on. And if you know you need that, be honest with your VA. They'll more than likely help you out. But a lot of my clients are like, no, just, you know, get this piece, this task done and don't, you know, I don't need to be nagged or bothered with it. You know, just get it done, get it back to me. It's the clients that don't know that they need the mama bear or the nagging that are harder to figure out what level works for them. And sometimes you have to go one way and go, yeah, that might be a little too much, or go less and go, that's not working, and then have a conversation. How about you, Brie?
Yeah, I've had clients where we've had multiple different versions of it, like you said, right? Like, it depends on the client. It's usually a conversation that comes up. Sometimes in the beginning, they'll know and they'll ask like, hey, like, I'll need you to keep on me, or that kind of thing. Sometimes we'll kind of set up like a workflow, and like you said, due dates are getting kind of missed and not really hearing anything. So we'll reach out in a couple different ways. And if that's happening like a couple different times, I'll check in with them and be like, hey, you know what? I noticed this. Would it be helpful if like around this time we send you a nudge? Can we send you a nudge once a week with like the tasks that are outstanding with the links to it? We have one client who we've even set up a thing where we do some prospect searching and stuff for her. And so if we do a week and then she doesn't get to it, and then we do the next week and she doesn't get to it, if we're 2 weeks ahead and she hasn't gotten to them, then we just have a setup, like take a pause, send me an email, and then wait a couple weeks, then touch base. So like sometimes we make workflows for when life happens, but that way it's still not falling off completely. There's just a process for following back up when life might make more room for things. So yeah, a lot of it's touching base and having those conversations of what do you need. And sometimes it's like, hey, you know what, I'm going to reach out to you three times. After three times, if I don't hear from you, I'm going to wait for you to reach out back to me, and just setting that guideline. So then it's out there, right? And then we put in that third email. This is our third email. So after this, we'll wait for you, so that it's not like, oh, like they miscount or whatever either, right? So then it's like, now the ball's in your court.
Pulling this email above the line. I've said that more than once. How about you, Sydney?
I agree with Leanne. I think it depends on the client. I think some clients definitely need more organization than others. I think when I was starting my business, it was definitely a lot harder for me to give accountability just because I didn't know as much about how to do that. I hadn't developed the communication skills to be like, hey, is this something you need? I think also with my schedule and everything, it's a little harder for me to manage my schedule and somebody else's schedule and deadlines. I think also when I was beginning, I didn't necessarily know how long things would take for me to do. So it was a little harder for me to block out my time like that. I think as I've gotten more into my business, I mostly don't have clients that need heavy accountability from me, which is nice. Honestly. But I think, yeah, I think if I were to be working this job full time, it would be easier for me to offer that as a part of what I do.
I know with my kids, sometimes one touch is too much and five touches isn't enough sometimes. So have you guys found that sweet spot, or is it still dependent on a client? Like how many times you follow up? Brie, you mentioned like three times and then it's in their court. Did that come because that's like a sweet spot, or that's just, you're just like three times you're out?
It's dependent as well on the clients. Like it depends on like how those nudges are received. Like, does it help, or is it more like they just need to be able to put their head down and focus? Some of them are like, yeah, just keep the nudges coming. Okay, then we'll just keep doing that. So a lot of that's kind of set up in those conversations. But like Sydney was saying, like that didn't just happen overnight. And I didn't just start being like, okay, no, things fell down. Things fell through the cracks. Things weren't happening. Things went wrong. And that's where we're like, okay, so one of the things we need to figure out is how do we communicate these things? And what does that look like? And what is comfortable on both sides? Because I found if we were just doing the follow-up, well, now I just, you make all your own stories. Right? I'm an egg and they're avoiding me. They're hiding away from me because I'm like the weird stalker person. And you know, like you can kind of go down a rabbit hole with all the stories you tell and why they're not responding back to you. Most of them are never true. Right? And so then it's like, okay, well then where, having those conversations, where's the line for you? Is this feeling comfortable for you? Is this helpful? What would be helpful? How about we try this on for size and see how it works, get some feedback and try something else. Till you find the thing that does.
I send a client a weekly reminder email and she does not respond back with any of the, this is done, this is done. Like, so we usually do a call and I'll bring that reminder email up and I'll be like, how about this? Did you do this? Do I need to leave it on here? And I'll just go down the list and that basically sets our call agenda. I'm like, okay, now what's new? You know, just because, you know, while I'm sending the reminder and she likes that, you know, we haven't quite built in the, okay, I did these things, or these are all still on my to-do list, right? So, I mean, I guess we have created the process. We talk about it in the call.
Some clients, I do that on a call, right? Like, it's like, okay, we almost have like a co-working call. Here's what I need. Send it to me now. Okay, this is the next thing I need. Send it to me now. And so like, while I'm in person with it, I collect it while we're there. Sometimes that's how it happens too.
Yeah. Yeah. I do that with a client for her social media. We'll put everything into the document. I'll be like, okay, before we even start the call, go through the documents. Here's all the links. Pick your images. Okay, that's done. We can move on. You know, we've kind of talked about kind of some of the things we do, but what are some examples of how you show up for accountability? What clients might go, oh, that's what I need. They might not think is accountability or mama bearing them or nagging, right? Like everyone has their own level of what they'll accept, but what are some examples? Like
I know for me, I do the weekly reminder and I'll do a recap and I'll ask the questions that come up and things like that. And, you know, we've talked in other episodes about communication tools like ClickUp and Slack to kind of keep things, you know, going back and forth. But what are some other ways that you've implemented over time to support clients with this kind of task?
So one of the things I found is with the clients who like technology, instead of nagging them, I can set up things like Trello boards with things for them to do. Instead of them setting up stuff for me to do, I set it up for them to do. And then I let Trello remind them. Now it's not me, it's the software. I make sure their notifications are on. And then that way, you know, there's a deadline on there. And then the thing tells you, hey, it's coming in 3 days. And hey, you're past due. And now it's not me. That works great for the clients who use it. It doesn't work for everybody. The other thing that I've noticed that works for some of my clients is a text message, which I would find to be very not helpful for me, the way I work. But a texting them, hey, these things are due today, works for some of them. So now it's not a phone call. It's not an email, because some clients don't like to work on their computer and they do things on their phones. And so if it's on their phone, now it's in their face. But if it's on an email, they may not bother to open email on their phone. So then a text works for them. I'm like, okay, that works. I'll text you your stuff. How about you, Bri? I'm sure you have a whole bunch of different ways of doing it.
We'll have ClickUp's where we do tasks. If I don't hear from you in ClickUp, I'll nudge you in Slack. If I don't hear from you there, some of our clients and stuff will have like a group message on Facebook Messenger. And then some of them will have a WhatsApp. I try to keep it out of text as much as possible for me and for them, just because it's my own preference that if I see a text on a weekend or something, I can't shut that off, right? Mm-hmm. So I like to have things that if I'm turning work off for the weekend, I'm not getting pinged by those things. Text is kind of like my last resort for me. Like, hey, I haven't heard from you on email. I haven't heard from you here, 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 or here. Are you okay? Like, what's going on? The other thing sometimes I'll do is like, I'll build in buffer. Like if I know that they're generally running behind, I'll ask it for it like 5 days before I actually want it and kind of build that in myself. Or the other thing that I'll do is like, if I haven't heard from them and we have that list coming up, sometimes they'll get that list and they're really overwhelmed. So I'll organize it in priority. Or I'll only send them 3 things at a time, right? It's like, okay, here's the top 3 things I need from you. I need this by Friday. Okay, here's the next 3 things, right? And or make it more bite-sized that way too. So yeah, we do have multiple versions depending on the clients. We try to limit them to those ones just because otherwise we're also chasing where was the information, which can also get a breakdown happening. But yeah, that's kind of like, we'll nudge in a few different areas and then send the, this is what I need. And then that it never usually goes further than that in my experience.
Sydney, how about you?
The more I think about it, the more I think that for me, it's really important that the client knows whether or not they need accountability and specifically what kind of accountability they need so that they can ask for it. I think otherwise, I wouldn't necessarily like chase after it. What I've done in the past is just, you know, email reminders and like, let's have a weekly call set up, stuff like that. But I think that there is something really important about the client knowing that they need accountability so that they can communicate that. I think otherwise it's hard for a VA to know what the sweet spot is. And I think some VAs are more likely to lean into giving accountability than others. I think I'm more on the not doing that side. I think in my mind, it's going to happen on your time. It's your business. I'm going to let you figure it out and get back to me. I think Rachel said this, like, I can't want it more than you. And so I think that's the, obviously, that's the upper extreme of accountability. And then there's the middle ground of, let's work together to help you get organized. I think maybe another realm of accountability is just helping the client get organized with their files, with their Google Drive, with their Canva. And I think that's something I'm much more happy to do rather than feel like I'm chasing work.
That's a good distinction, because at the foundation of the question is what accountability and how much do you need? You being the client, the listener, who is saying, okay, I'm bringing on help. What do I want that to look like? What is important to me? And we've talked in other episodes about the qualities of the person that you're hiring beyond handing the tasks off. And one of those qualities is kind of knowing what your gaps are and what you need to fill those gaps. So if accountability and organization and planning and looking at a project and going, that is too big, I can't look at all of that at once, then one of the qualities to look for in your VA is someone who can break it down into those bite-sized pieces and can hand them out to you as you're able to receive them. And that's not a skill in everyone's toolbox. And so if that is what you need, and you may not know what you need until you're already working with someone. I didn't know how much accountability I needed because I was just learning my tendencies when I hired Sydney. So I didn't know what I didn't know. But as soon as I learned how much accountability I needed, I was like, okay, I need more from you to help me with this. And then we worked together to figure out what that looked like and how much we needed and how they could support me. But I didn't know that going in. I mean, I know I'm an obliger now and I know what that means for me. And if any of you haven't read the Gretchen Rubin's book, The Four Tendencies, an obliger is someone who can meet external expectations, but has trouble meeting their own internal expectations. So I could very easily do client work all day long and meet all of their needs. But when it came to my own things, I would step over boundaries like it was just a line in the sand. So you might not know that that's your tendency until you're like, oh, I didn't get things to my VA in a time for them to complete the deadline, because I know like some things are scary to do. I mean, even writing content and saying, you know, oh, I have to do content for a whole month so my VA can do the graphics and schedule it and post it. Like that's, for some people, that's a lot of work and it takes time and it takes some creativity and energy that you might not always have. And, you know, if I'm up on a deadline, I'm going to do it because I'm also a people pleaser. And if I have to get it to my VA, then I'm going to do that because they're holding me accountable to myself. So you may not know how much you need, but if you know that you need it, then it is something to talk with your VA about, probably in the interview process when you're talking to VAs, because if they don't want to be an accountability partner, then you need to give them that opportunity to say, that's not what I do. And then you don't have that expectation that they're going to do that for you if it was something that was already communicated that they don't do. You guys got anything else?
I think a part of hiring a VA in the first place is some form of accountability in itself. You know, it's like, someone wants to go to the gym more, so they pay for the membership and that incentivizes them to go to the gym because they're paying for it. And I think that's one way to think about it, is that, you know, if you're paying for somebody to do this work, then it kind of holds you more accountable to get the work done that they need from you. The other thing I was thinking about that is a form of accountability is just having a VA that writes down what you talk about and then will bring it up later in the future call when you're like, I don't know what I want to do. And they can be like, this thing you talked about. I think a VA in itself is kind of a whole world of accountability, a whole spectrum. And I think on the more gentle end is just hiring one in itself and also just having them to bounce ideas off of and also store ideas so they can bring them up later.
That was super helpful. Sydney did that for me. Because like I said in another episode, I'm a verbal processor. So I talk and things come out. And if I'm not recording the session, which Leanne has reminded me that I need to record every session I'm ever in, because ideas just come. And once they're like, I don't actually have a a brain to mouth filter sometimes. Like, I don't even know they're coming until they're out of my mouth, and then I forget them. So it is absolutely helpful to have a VA to be like, you said this on this date at this time, and let's do that now. It's very helpful.
Yeah, I think that's how this podcast started, right?
It's possible. It's been a dream for years, and it wouldn't have been possible without Sydney clearing space. I mean, that, and I had to build the Shoffis too. But once the Shoffis was built, Sydney brought it back around. Like, is it time now? Is it time? I think it's time.
Podcast time.
Yes, you're totally scared and everything, but you'll have wonderful people with you. Well, thank you so much for being with us today on episode 6 of season 3. How much accountability do you need? If you have any questions about anything we talk about, you can send us an email at heyvapodcast@gmail.com, or you can connect with any one of us using our link in the link tree. We will see you next time. Have a wonderful day.
Thank you for joining us on this episode of Hey, Do I Need a VA? The podcast. If you found this episode helpful, please leave a like, comment, or review. And feel free to join our Facebook group, Find, Hire, and Work with a VA, for more tips and tools. If you have any questions, please email them to heyvapodcast@gmail.com. Thanks. We'll see you next time.